Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast edition 324, or in other words, our World Cup special number 2. Welcome to Archant Towers. We are here to discuss the latest World Cup news and goings on, because we thought you might like that from a Norfolk perspective. My name is Michael Bailey. I am joined today by my Norwich City corresponding colleague, David Freezer. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Good morning. Love it. Deputy Head of Sport here at Norfolk, Mark Armstrong. Mark, welcome.
Hello there.
And a new reporter here at Archant Towers, first day in fact, for Daniel Bennett, and he ends up being on our World Cup podcast. Hello Dan, welcome. What a day, don't get used to it.
Lucky me, eh? Podcast on the first day.
So this is literally, it's all downhill from here. It's not, it'll be brilliant. You'll have a great time and you'll learn lots of stuff, of course. Everyone good. Dave, let's have a quick chat about your weekend, because you went pub and paddling around Norwich. What a treat.
I did. It was enjoyable, apart from forgetting to put suntan lotion on my legs. So
just your legs?
Yeah, not too bad. A little bit of superficial pinkness.
Which is most red, is it your knees?
A little bit of knees, a little bit of sock line. But it was quite tough, actually. We went from the Red Lion on Riverside Road up to the Rush Cutters in Thorpe and had a roast there. But the way out, the current is against you and the wind was against you. So learning to steer a canoe properly was quite difficult. But then on the way back, really easy. So
I had a couple of pints in you on the way back,
exactly.
As well.
Lovely way to spend a sunny Sunday.
That's good. We won't talk about Saturday, will we? Because poor old Dave, Mark, he had to do all the Norwich City coverage on Saturday.
He did, didn't he? Bless him. It was a busy old day with a lot of us. Well, you were busy at the Holcombe 10K, weren't you, Mark? And then there was a few of us at Mr. Paddy Davitt's wedding, of course. So Dave sprung to action and did a grand old job, and there was plenty of content on the websites over the weekend, wasn't there?
Did sterling job, mate, well done. And we all got to take in Paddy's wedding at the end, didn't we? So that was nice. Mr. Davitt being held aloft with his new bride. It was quite the sight.
Where you showed us how to do the floss dance.
Well, let's not talk about that. I'd forgotten about that.
Unfortunately, I didn't get on video.
Thank God, I had forgotten about that. I don't even need to drink. That's the stupid thing. And Dan, your first day here, are you looking forward to becoming a proper journalist?
I am. I'm very excited. Very excited to be doing this podcast as well on my first day. Didn't expect to be doing something football on the first day. Yeah, always a good thing, isn't it?
So we'll set the record straight. You are from the area, but you're not a Norwich fan.
I'm not a Norwich fan. I'm a Blackpool fan, which you don't get many of around these parts, but there you go.
It's fine. Blackpool's fine. We don't want these Man United or Liverpool types, eh, Mark? Right, let's get on with the World Cup chat, shall we? Just to flag up, though, if you're listening to the podcast for the first time or you've just stumbled across it and you want to get subscribed, check out pinken.com/podcast and you'll find all the links for your Android and Apple devices. Get in touch, leave ratings, reviews, whatever you like. England is our first section, because the last time we did a podcast, our first World Cup special, Germany were in the process of getting knocked out. I think some of us would have liked to have re-recorded the podcast after that incredible sight. And of course, England went off and played Belgium in a friendly. I mean, how rude to put on a friendly match during the World Cup. But in the end, it didn't matter. England got what they wanted, which was a defeat, I'm guessing, so that they could get the easy half of the draw, Dave. Although they do have to play Colombia first, which of course is happening on Tuesday night. We've seen loads of sides go out. England are going to win the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure last time we recorded I said that England would go out in the quarters to Germany on penalties. So that was very, very quickly dated, and I was delighted that it was so. Well, who we got? Germany, Argentina, Spain, all gone. Obviously all great news for England. I nearly didn't bother going to the pub to watch the Belgian game. I wish I hadn't, because it was a bit like the atmosphere of a wake, really.
Woeful.
It was just not enjoyable at all. I wish I hadn't bothered watching. I should have watched another episode of Westworld, to be perfectly honest.
The good thing about having kids at home is that it turned out, I saw the teams, I thought, well, you know, this isn't floating my boat. Saw the first 10 minutes and then thought, you know what, I'm just going to go and help put kids to bed. And Fliss was very grateful, my wife. Sorry, very personal. Carry on, Dave.
That one has disappeared. But the subsequent results and the way the draw is shaping up now, with England's potential path to the final looking so good and like one that could be done, is great. But everyone's getting a little bit carried away because Colombia are a very good side. They're only ranked 4 places lower than England in the FIFA rankings, whatever you want to make of them. And with players like Falcao, Cuadrado, Quintero, you know, there's a real attacking threat to Colombia. And our defence hasn't been tested yet. So I think there's a lot of people getting overexcited. And then if things do go wrong Tuesday night, which it of course could, then some people are going to feel very silly, I think.
And then they might also accuse it Gareth Southgate of getting it wrong because of losing all that momentum with the Belgium game. But Belgium made so many changes. I mean, it was never going to be a proper test anyway.
No, I mean, and so did England, didn't they? I mean, there'd be a lot of players to come back in. It's a real difficult situation for Southgate to manage, really, and we only know how well he's managed it after Tuesday's result, obviously. But so far, I don't think he's put a foot wrong, really. I mean, you know, let's be honest, we would prefer to be on that side of the draw. Colombia is really tricky. I think it's going to be one of the most difficult games on a route to a potential semi-final. I think Colombia are better than either Switzerland or Sweden that we've seen, so a potential, obviously, quarter-finalists. And I certainly wouldn't be afraid of Croatia or Russia if they got to the semi. So I think Colombia's a real big test. But, you know, it's England, isn't it? We big it up and then we'll come crashing back down to earth. We've played, let's face it, our first team has played Tunisia and Panama. Which, you know, Tunisia was a good result. I thought Tunisia were a decent side and, you know, they were really hard to beat. They certainly made it hard to beat in the second half. Panama, you can't really read a lot into it, can you? I mean, England did what they needed to do. In years gone by, England probably would have scraped that 1-0, so it was nice to see them just completely put them away really easily. But let's face it, the World Cup probably starts here for England, doesn't it? You know, let's just see how it goes.
Exactly, which is all the part of the excitement, Dan. What are you making of how England is shaping up? Because it was interesting with Dele Alli speaking yesterday, I think, saying, look, it doesn't dismantle any of the momentum because the guys who are probably going to play didn't play, and they're going to come back in still buzzing from the other two results, and it still seems to be a good feeling around the group.
Yeah, I definitely think there's still a good feeling around the group, but it just reminds me of exactly what Roy Hodgson did in 2016, which was he chose to rest all his good players in the last game of the group. We got a 0-0 draw, which was very similar to the game we've just had against Belgium. Very dull, not much happening. And we avoided Portugal, who obviously eventually went on to win it. And we got Iceland, and everyone was happy, you know, oh, Iceland, we're going to get to the quarterfinals at least, and look what happened. So, and Colombia are a much better team than Iceland. I think they've got some real good players. If Rodriguez plays, his injury doesn't seem to be as bad as everyone seemed to think. I think Falcao is looking good. He's got his first World Cup goal in this tournament. So I don't think it's going to be easy at all. When I saw this side of the draw, I just had a bad feeling for the World Cup that we might end up going up to Colombia, and I can see my fears being realised, unfortunately. But hopefully I'm wrong. We can still win,
I mean, I'm much as guilty as anyone probably, because before the tournament I was like, well, they'll get out of the group, but the first decent side they'll come up against, they'll come unstuck. And I guess that's exactly where we are now, because I think Colombia are a proper test. We've been trying to find local links, haven't we, for the Colombia team. We had a good old chat, me and Mark and Dave, about this earlier, you know, trying to find a goal scored against Ospina or, well, anything really. We didn't, did we?
Or Falcao failing to score against Norwich, something like that. No, we didn't find any. No, good point made by Dan there. I mean, I think Southgate's done enough to have a bit of positivity on his side, more than Roy Hodgson did, whereas everyone was saying, why is Harry Kane taking corners at the last, and we're sort of losing respect for Hodgson by the game. I think Southgate's earned a little bit of patience and a little bit of positivity, but equally he could get sacked if England get drubbed tomorrow night, because all of a sudden the decision to rest so many players is going to, and he knows it, the finger is going to be pointed squarely at him. So he has taken a risk to an extent. We'll just have to see if it pays off, really. But I mean, what is great about it, and it's such a great World Cup. I mean, we haven't even mentioned the game on Saturday, which was France Argentina, yeah. Wasn't it? Was it 4-3 in the end? I almost lost track. That was brilliant. But we've now got in the final, there will be one of Sweden, Switzerland, Russia, Croatia, England, Colombia, and I think only England have ever been in a World Cup final before of that six, haven't they? So that's pretty exciting in itself, and it almost feels like this World Cup is bringing a new era to football almost. You know, you look at Spain, what Russia did maybe wasn't pretty, but you know, the whole tiki-taka sort of sideways passing thing seems to have been left in the past now.
And Germany as well. I mean, that regardless of there being a lot of young players in that squad, for them to go out in that style was just remarkable in the end of an era feeling about it too. And, of course, Argentina.
I think it'd be really interesting how much Southgate has actually changed England's mentality as well, which is what he's been determined to do. Because traditionally, when we've come up against these sort of South American or possession-based teams, England sort of revert to their, that they might get 1-0 up and then they just sit back and just continually give the ball away, which is the absolute antithesis what Southgate wants. We've got to try and keep the ball as much as we can, because that's how he set his team up. And if we continue to just lump it forward, then we will get beaten, because Colombia will pick apart a defence which hasn't really been tested yet. I just hope that he has managed to change that mentality and the players are confident enough in themselves, they don't let the pressure get to them too much, that they back themselves to play out from the back and just do what they've been doing so far and just see how it goes against one of the better teams.
Yeah, spot on about keeping the ball and also being brave enough to keep trying to play the way you're playing. And they did that against Tunisia later on, which was a real tick in the box, I thought, because the pressure was on. And again, that last minute goal against Tunisia has meant everything so far. 11s, who are they going to play? Dan, do you want to go first? Who do you want England to play? Because obviously we've had a bit of a mix in terms of who played against Belgium.
I mean, it's quite an easy choice, I think. I think the team pretty much picks itself, because that game against Belgium was the big chance for anyone to come in who might be on the fringe of the first team to come in and really give Southgate something to think about. But I don't actually think anyone did that. I think the major one was Ashley Young or Danny Rose. I think Rose did well, but obviously made the mistake for the goal. You know, let Januzaj come inside, curl it into the corner. So I don't think, based on that, I think he'll stick with Ashley Young. So I honestly think, expect to see, as long as Ali's fit, he'll replace Loftus-Cheek, and I think we'll have the similar team to what we've had in the group stages, which has seen England do very well.
I think he'll be the Tunisia team, yeah. I think the one player that might feel a little bit hard done by is Loftus-Cheek. I think he's done all right. I think he did all right the other night against Belgium. He's one of the ones who made a couple of decent runs and what was obviously a very difficult night to impress. But I think if Dele Alli's fit, he'll come back in. I mean, I don't really like Ashley Young as a player, but I would play him on Tuesday, because I just think that experience, he seems to be a bit of a talker as well. I think he's got that game intelligence where against Belgium he wouldn't have let Januzaj come in on his left foot, which is what everyone who knows anything about football, just keep Januzaj on his right foot. He didn't do it. I like Rose, but he looked a bit rusty to me at times. I think if he'd been playing like sort of 10-15 games sort of last few months, then it'd be fine. I think he'd be in, but I'd go with Young personally.
Dave?
Yeah, similar. I hoped that the Belgian game would mean that Rose and Rashford would come to the fore and that Sterling and Young would be dropping out, but that's not where I am. I think I'd be starting Sterling and Young from an experience point of view. I would probably prefer to bring Ali in for Delph, because I thought Delph was pretty poor, yeah. But I think it is probably more likely that Delph, just because of his experience, will keep his place.
Lingard come back in, won't he?
Oh, of course, Lingard, that's yeah, it, right. Yeah. Yeah, so you have Lingard and Ali and Henderson. I mean, Dyer was, as one of my friends put it, yeah, Dyer. He was, I used to really like Eric Dyer as a player, but he made Henderson look like a £100 million player the other night. So, yeah, I think it's, like Dan says, picks itself to an extent.
We'll have the discussion over Jordan Pickford on another debate, another podcast, because I know we've had that one, Dave.
So. We don't necessarily agree on Pickford,
do we? Don't think we necessarily agree, but it's not like there's a selection choice to be had. Simply, he is the man who's going to be playing.
I'm pro, you're anti, basically.
Well, yeah. No spoilers there.
What did you have in mind?
Well, I don't think you can. It's a shame that Jack Butland didn't have better form going into the tournament, because he'd have been my number one. Pickford's not ready, and I think that's probably going to be showing up. But we're not having that debate this time.
Next podcast. What, when England are out?
Possibly. I produce this thing, I get to choose.
When Pickford scuffs at clearance. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, two or three mistakes against Belgium could have been a mitigation to talk about it now, but we won't. Okay, this is our On the Sidelines, so what happened elsewhere? I mean, we could spend the next 10 minutes talking about Germany, but I think that's all been done. We'll just keep mentioning it on the side, so that, you know, they're out. And of course, we'll try to forget about the correlation with Norwich City picking up the German model 12 months before they have their historic World Cup low. Elsewhere in the last 16, then, seems like a good place to be. I mean, Dave, you already teased it. The game on Saturday, 4-3, France doing away with Lionel Messi and co. Again, end of an era, possibly definitely with that Argentina team. France have been sort of bubbling along without really looking like a team you'd want to watch. But we mentioned it, didn't we, earlier, Mark Mbappe, what a player.
Yeah, the pace is unreal. That surge through the middle early on, that what Marcus Rojo was doing, I really don't know. That was a rugby tackle, wasn't it? I think France has shown the most potential. I still don't think they've quite shown their full potential yet, but they've looked very good. I mean, Pogba is really turning it on, and Mbappe is fantastic. They've got a nice balance to them, strong in defence as well. And Messi played pretty well, I thought, for Argentina. You know, he kept trying to get things ticking over, but just wasn't enough in the end. But it was such a dramatic game. Really did enjoy it. So yeah, as we stand, I think France are probably my favourites to win it.
Yeah, I think between France and Brazil for me. But what did you make of the game?
I didn't see a lot of it. I've seen the highlights, obviously, but France just—I mean—they remind me. They've got a lot more flair, but they remind me of they've just got such a collection of wonderful individual players that the difficulty for Deschamps is fitting that into a team where. So did Giroud play on?
He did.
I mean, because you wouldn't necessarily have Giroud and as one of the best individual players, but if he makes that team tick a little bit more and gets a bit more out of Griezmann and Mbappe, then it's worth having him in. It's just whether Deschamps can manufacture that into a team that functions well. It looks like he's getting to grips with that, but we all know Zidane's going to get the job after the job.
No, you're exactly right, though. Mbappe and Griezmann seem to have so much more freedom because they had the pivot of Giroud, and it just seemed to take everyone's focus away almost. Lionel Messi, Dan, he's probably done for World Cups. One of the greatest players. He'll be back?
Yeah, he'll be have another one, won't he? Argentina won't let him retire.
How old will he be? Was it 36? 34,
35, I think. He's
31.
So
yeah,
he'll be 31. Yeah.
Oh,
go
on then, Dan.
I don't think. I think that'll be enough. I really think he'll retire from. I mean, after the last, I think it was. I can't remember what they called it, the South American. Cup, or Argentina got to the final. They lost. Messi retired after the game, and then was sort of persuaded to come back out of retirement, you know, come in for the World Cup, and he did it. And it's sort of as everyone expected, really, the same old problems for Argentina. They didn't really seem to know how to use him for me. They can't really seem to get the best out of him. I mean, the amount of attacking talent that Argentina have to choose from, they've got Dybala, who didn't even play really in the World Cup. They've got Aguero on the bench against France, one of the Premier League's best ever strikers that we've seen. And he's, you know, playing Messi as a false nine with Di Maria. It doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense, you know. And he also didn't even take Icardi, who scored 28 goals in Italy this season. So it is a strange one, but I just don't think... I think Messi will, you know, put his faith in the rest of his Barcelona career, try and win another Champions League, you know, at least another couple maybe of Spanish leagues. I think he's going to try and use his time and energy on that rather than trying to waste his time trying to win something with Argentina, because he's failed. You know, he got to the World Cup final in 2014. That was his big chance, and it didn't happen for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like his chances were at other tournaments. But I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's also on his plane home. I guess they both went on private jet planes rather than travelling with their team.
Together, I don't think they're each other's biggest fans.
Probably not even with their teams, to be honest. Yeah. It's also the point. I mean, we obviously have the debate about who's good, whatever. They're both great players, but was there a sort of missed opportunity with Cristiano as well, or was he kind of doing all he could around the team that he had?
Yeah, I don't think Portugal are a great team, really. I mean, you look at Carlos Queiroz and how organised Iran were. You almost wonder whether they'd have been better with him in charge, to shape the team around Ronaldo.
Was he in charge? He's been in charge of Portugal before. I don't think you got on with Ronaldo, you're going to be. If you don't get on with Ronaldo, you're pretty screwed, aren't you?
But yeah. Otherwise, their team is just not up to his standard, is it? So, I mean, I've always been in sort of the Messi camp, really. Maybe it's the more romantic view, but I just think he's the best player there's ever been, whereas Ronaldo is probably the most ruthless and professional, and they're both brilliant, aren't
he's
they?
He's not even the best Ronaldo, though. The Brazilian Ronaldo.
Now, that is a romantic view.
And, of course, the other game really worth discussing is Uruguay, who progressed. And I mean, what a goal from Cavani, him and Suarez, and then the header, fantastic. Cavani got the first as well, didn't he? Or was that the first? Did he get the second?
He got the second.
He definitely got both of them. Yeah. Can't remember which order they were in now, but they're going to be praying Uruguay that he's fit, aren't they? Because it looked like a nasty foot injury that took him off, and there's suggestions he might be out for a month, which of course would quite easily be the rest of the World Cup. But Uruguay going forward without Cavani, they're not the same prospect, are they?
Not really. I mean, you saw how good he was in the game against Portugal. He hadn't really done it in this World Cup up to that point. I think he'd only scored one goal, and there was question marks about whether him and Suarez could really play together. And then literally a couple of minutes into the game, Suarez picks Cavani up perfectly to pretty much put any of those doubts about whether they can play together to bed. But if he doesn't play, I think it's a real big miss. I mean, you've still got Luis Suarez, but you know, I'm not really sure he can do it on his own. He's not had the best World Cup either. He's missed quite a few good chances, which actually he's been doing for Barcelona this season as well. So yeah, they're going to need Cavani to come back, I think, if they really want to have a great World Cup. They're going to need Cavani. I don't think they can do it without him.
And we should also touch on Croatia, Denmark. That happened last night. Two goals in the first 4 minutes.
Croatia were rubbish, weren't they?
Terrible. For a side that blitzed their group and actually had a real swagger about them, it's like, well, we've done that bit, now we're scared, and we're not really sure what to do. But at least it went down to penalties. Kasper Schmeichel was good fun.
It was entertaining in the end, wasn't it? I mean, the save from Modric, poor penalty in normal time, but the player who, you know, prevented the open goal being scored in the last few minutes. I don't know his name, but fair play. He was almost national hero along with Schmeichel, isn't it? It was great seeing Peter Schmeichel's face when Kasper was making those saves. But you know, Croatia somehow snuck through despite the flattest of performances.
Okay, we would normally do some mailbag, and that's what we'll do with our Norwich City podcast as well into the season. So make sure you get your questions or comments into us by tweets, posts on Facebook, whichever way, flag them up. Or you can email us, which is probably the best way. The address is thepinken@archant.co.uk. Aside from that, let's go for the week ahead. What's to come? So we've got a few last 16 ties. Worth saying, we're recording this at Monday lunchtime, early lunchtime. So we've still got Brazil, Mexico and Belgium, Japan to take place today before Sweden, Switzerland and then of course the England game as well in the last 16. Brazil, Mexico, that's I'm looking forward to that one, Mark. Not so much Sweden, Switzerland.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good game, won't it? I think it depends what Mexico sort of turns up. If it's the one that beat Germany, then they could really pose some problems for Brazil. If it's the one that they lost... Sweden. Yeah. Was it 2-0? 3-0. I mean, it was pretty much a dead rubber for them. They were pretty confident they're going through, weren't they? Yeah, they
clearly, given their performance.
Yeah. But I mean, they're another team that they're a proper team again, aren't they? They function well together. They've not got any real sort of star players. The interesting one for Brazil is Neymar, isn't it? Really, I think he's looked okay so far, but I mean, from what a lot of people said, he's not fit. He was injured for a lot of last season, wasn't he? But
yeah.
I mean, you know, being a Liverpool fan, that's a no. I think Coutinho is absolutely fantastic, and I think he's more important to Brazil in this World Cup than Neymar is. So if he plays, then plays well, then Mexico could be right up against it.
The interesting with Brazil is that defensively they're really tight this tournament, and when they've tended to win World Cups, they have tended to have that defensive solidity behind them. I guess it'll be interesting with Belgium, Japan, because Belgium did the same thing as England. They chopped and completely changed their side. Will they still be full flowing when De Bruyne and Lukaku and Eden Hazard all come back into the team? So I guess that's almost a precursor for what sets the bench, doesn't it, for what England then do against Colombia?
Yeah, I think Belgium, their first tie that they've got, is they've done well to get that. I think it's a lot easier task than Colombia. I wasn't very impressed with Japan when I've seen them. They were very lucky to get through. They got through just because I think they had two less yellow cards than Senegal. So, I mean, that is the way it's done, so you've got to say they deserve it.
Yeah.
But I think Belgium have definitely got the easier tie with Japan. It's a shame that England couldn't have that tie, because I think I would fancy England to go through to the quarterfinals at least. Yes, they'd have a tougher game in Mexico or Brazil, but I think everyone sort of before this tournament was, you know, pretty set that quarterfinals, we want the quarters. That's that would be a good tournament. And we've now got a tougher task of getting there, but it depends what you think. You know, the optimist will say that we've got an easier route to the final, but is it easier just to get to the quarters? I don't know. But I think Belgium should do pretty well against Japan. I don't think they're a great side.
Perennial discussion, that one, and of course we'll view it all with hindsight in the next podcast. So we also know two of the quarterfinal ties then, France-Uruguay. I think we've spoken both about those two sides enough, and then Croatia take on Russia, who of course knocked out Spain. Remarkable performance from the hosts so far. I think they've confounded expectations, given they were the lowest ranked side in the tournament. They've surprised us all with their energy and enthusiasm, Dave.
Great penalty save from Akinfeev from, was it Iago Aspas, the deciding penalty against Spain, just to flick his boot out. I mean, I think it's great for the tournament, mainly that Russia is still in there. It really helps with the atmosphere, and fair play to them. I think it's already a success for them that they've reached the quarterfinals, isn't it? So good on them. I think Belgium will walk all over Japan. They the way they qualified with tapping the ball about in the latter stages against Poland left quite a sour note. You know, I think Senegal were probably the better team and should have gone through. Belgium will walk all over them. Sweden, Switzerland, you know, again, we come back to England thinking it's an easier route if they can get past Colombia, but Sweden and Switzerland are significantly better than Iceland were. So, and Sweden actually look very well organised. Switzerland
struggle against Sweden as well. We have done in the past, and we normally draw against them. So it's one that probably would go to penalties for us.
I think it's the same with Colombia. Really, we are gonna, if we can hit top gear against all those teams, then we should be winning, shouldn't we? But whether we'll be able to, whether the pressure will start to come back into things, this is where Southgate really earns his money, isn't it? If he's managed to get the squad in a place where they can go into these games without feeling like they've got the world on their shoulders, so. I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Brilliant, Dave. I think that's a good note to end it on as well. Normally we'd have any other business here, but we haven't got any, not that we know of, unless there's anything anyone wants to, and everyone's sort of looking down and no shaking their heads. That's fine. The only thing I want to plug is that we're going to have loads of live coverage over the course of Tuesday night, and England of course playing Colombia. If you're out at a pub, brilliant, enjoy yourself. If you're sat at home with your nibbles, brilliant, enjoy yourself. I'm at this is the Railway Tavern in Durham, the pub that's got the 100 seater stand and all ticket.
I passed it the other day. It looks fantastic. Yeah, it's great.
So I'm going to be doing live Facebook videos and all sorts, and I think quite a few people are going to be out and about across the county at different pubs. So if you're at one of those, come and say hello or watch the video highlights as part of your England supporting experience. I think it's going to be on the EDP Facebook page, so keep an eye out there. And of course we'll throw in our comments and analysis in the papers and online as and when we can, and we'll do another one of these podcasts very soon once certainly we found out how England get on against Colombia. Until then, Dan, thanks very much for joining us. You enjoy it?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, really good. Cheers.
Mark, cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate. Come on, England.
Come on, England. Dave,
exactly. I may be negative, I may be pessimistic to a degree, but I bloody want them to do it.
Yeah. Just imagine when you get to the pub, throwing the beers over everyone to celebrate.
I'll be the first one throwing the beers, as you know.
Yeah, there we go. Brilliant stuff. Thanks all for listening, and we will see you very soon. Cheers, bye-bye.